93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, it's Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, live in Chicago this morning. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Johnny is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny.
Great, Stevie J.
All right, let's listen to the sounds of Chicago.
What are they recruiting for?
Oh, yeah.
Great, Georgia 1.
In Chicago, Mike, did you sell any meals at the restaurant over the weekend?
Well, pretty quiet. The downtown area, kind of. Actually, there's policemen all over the place. I live downtown in Chicago. There's nothing around where I'm at. It's all south of the Loop, actually, down around Michigan and Cermak. And they've got it pretty well contained. And, you know, these people really, I mean, to me, it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, they don't understand that their protest is falling on deaf ears, and it really, I think a lot of it's driven by the media, Steve. The media's hyped this thing up to be a little bit more than it is because, as I said, I live downtown, and the area I'm in, I have seen no problems at all.
But, Mike, I do have a question of why you would have a NATO summit in Chicago. I mean, because the story's going to be the protesters, since they can get there easily. The summit people have their own planes. They could have gone anywhere. And if you want to focus on what NATO's focused on, we're just seeing, you know, these confrontations, and they'll find the one or two 30-second pictures they want to show. And all we're going to hear about is the protest. I don't know what the NATO means or even talking about. And I think that's an important part of why you need to avoid this kind of thing instead of just beg for it. Because, Steve, you can fly to Chicago from any city in the world, probably cheap.
Yeah.
And the NATO participants could have had it somewhere in northern Maine or down here in Belle Chase and been in and out before anyone found out how to get
well,
here.
Well, why don't you have it in Duluth, Minnesota?
Whatever, yeah. But, I mean, it's on the one hand you say, well, we want to be able to have one wherever we want, but I don't know, Mike. You're right. The media is going to make the story they want, and this is pretty easy because you got a bunch of kids out. I don't know. It's only a few thousand. I don't know how many are up there, do you think? Do you know?
You look at this, John, and we went through it in the 60s. These kids are whatever they are. They're protesters, but what are they protesting? Do they really know what they're protesting? And if you're protesting, why would you wear a mask? Why wouldn't you show who you are? Why would you be afraid to show your identity if you really protest what's going on? I don't have all the answers for this. You know, I don't know why NATO picked it. I don't know. Maybe they thought they would drive business in Chicago, but I'll tell you, the cost of employing and putting out the security and the police that we have in this city, if you see it right now, I mean, I came right down. I just drove over in a limo from my place to here at the Hyatt, and there's cops everywhere, policemen everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they have better things to be doing, too, but, you know, that's what they're doing.
Well, and of course, the one argument is, well, you've got a real global presence, and Chicago's a global center. But the images, the PR is just going to be, protesters pushing them against the cop. That's all they're going to show everybody.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so you're not really getting a lot of great PR out of it. It's something that's manageable, but I don't see the point. And I just question the decision to have it in a city like Chicago when there are so many places you could have a meeting
that. Let me give you an example from a business viewpoint. We have restaurants. We have a restaurant downtown. We had six private parties scheduled over the weekend. Everyone was canceled.
And they're probably just worried about going down there. They'll come next week, but that's right. And so it's the quandary, Stevie. And I don't know. Are they getting anywhere with the NATO summit talks? What's the news coming out of the meeting?
Trying to get out of Afghanistan, trying to talk about, you know, things that they all agree on, which isn't very much, is tension between Pakistan and the U.S. There's this and that and that and this. It just on and on we go. Meanwhile, if this would have been 4 years ago, every headline would have said, growing unrest with the Bush administration this morning.
Well, and also, you saw our cars ride thanks to the American taxpayers for picking up the tab in Afghanistan.
Unbelievable.
I don't know if you saw that, but that's, you know, any thanks to the American taxpayers because they picked up the tab, and, you know, they've furthered the betterment of Afghanistan, and, you know, it's all, who cares? I mean, after a while, we've got to say, who cares? We are not the watch guard of the world.
Which
comes out, I guess it finishes up today then, or is that right?
I think today's it, and then they're
Monday,
out. Monday, today, okay. And then they plan the next one. And again, I think Missoula, Montana, or Duluth, Minnesota. You know how hard it is to get to those places?
What's wrong with Iceland, for crying out loud?
Reykjavik. That's the next one.
The kids won't get there as quickly, although you can fly in there, too. But it's part of our culture here, and I think that Chicago probably, for this particular event, probably wasn't a very good choice, Steve.
Yeah. All right, 740, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Over the weekend, I mentioned half hour ago how terribly disappointed I was that Erica Harold was not selected for the 13th Congressional District to take Tim Johnson's spot. Boy, Johnny, is she some kind of a person? I mean,
she's great. Mike, this young lady won Miss America in 2003. She's extremely smart and very charismatic, just a great girl. I mean, she was trying to get the Republican nomination, I guess, for Congress, because there's a special election.
Well, because there was a pick. Tim Johnson won the primary, stepped down, said he's retiring, so the 14-county chairman got to make the selection. And so the 14 got together Saturday, had three ballots, and it went to Rodney Davis, which is a political insider guy, and didn't pick Erica. I thought Erica just was, you know, Miss America, that's terrific. Harvard Law, that's terrific. The fact that she's been very, very active and involved with prison ministry, that's terrific. But what a bright, forward-thinking, as you said, charismatic. It would have been just an outstanding, historic pick to pick a 32-year-old African-American woman like this that sounds like that.
Well, it's what you'd call a no-brainer. But, Steve, I got to tell you, in order to maintain your position as second place in a two-man race for 50 years, the Republican Party of Illinois has to do things like this. This is the kind of strategy that keeps you last place, Mike. That's how you stay in the cell. The Republican Party,
agree.
We're all pulling for them. They're like the Cubs, Steve. We're all pulling for them, but they just keep losing.
And believe me, there's a lot of people not even pulling for the Cubs anymore. But, it's a shame, you know, to have somebody that's talented. But then again, if she has all the qualifications, which she does have, as Steve said, she wouldn't fit into politics anyway. She would be too honest.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that. It's a tough road to hoe when you really have the kind of integrity she has. It's very disillusioning, and I've known people go up there, and they're just sickened by the scene. On the other hand, we just if she's willing to do it, that's the opportunity. It's like we're the ones that are hurt. I think she's probably coming out ahead, but we need people like that, and I'm pretty impressed that she was at least willing to do it. But I don't know, Stevie, you've got to take advantage of that kind of thing, and the two-party system has a weakness, because if one party wanders off the reservation, you only have one other line of defense, and that's the other party.
Yeah.
So if the other party has a stroke or something, you're just left to twist in the wind. The Republicans of Illinois have not been able to beat the Democrats. And look at the state. We're the most corrupt. We're the most broke. The two-party system has a weakness if they're not competitive. And Illinois Republicans have struggled. A lot of smart people, but as a group, some questionable decisions through the years.
And, of course, you can't really run as an independent in this election. You have to be
And the thing about this particular, too, that was Tim Johnson's seat. You know, I was putting up signs for Tim in 1975, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It might have been even earlier than that. And that was a Republican seat. Now, they've gerrymandered these districts, so that's not a slam-dunk seat for the Republicans. Davis, I don't know Davis. He has a chance to win, but I don't think the Democrats would have even put up money against Erica. I think they were going to concede that seat. But now I think they've got it marked as a real possibility for a gain. So strategically, I thought it was a bad move as well. So,
all right.
I don't want to mince any words or anything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Here's Johnny, you've been talking about voting. And, of course, this election coming up is very, very important, as we all know. 53,000 dead voters found on the rolls in Florida. One gentleman not only voted for on behalf of a dead person in Oregon, he voted for his dead son. This is so wrought with fraud, and yet we don't purge these, apparently. People can walk in. They don't need voter IDs. Of course, that would be discriminatory. So people walk in, and yes, it is cheating, and it's happening, and more evidence continues to come out all the time on this.
It's been going on a while. I mean, let's face it, back before we were born, there's been, you know, shenanigans. And one of the more famous is, again, Illinois, when Kennedy beat Nixon, and they gave credit to Mayor Daley, the first Richard Daley, for delivering the White House for John Kennedy. But we haven't really monitored it. You know, Mike, I really think it's far more serious than what we hear. And there's an example. I didn't hear 53,000, though, Steve.
That's just Florida. Just Florida alone. That just uncovered.
Yeah. And I heard a guy this morning on Fox News. He said he voted 60 times.
How do you know?
He voted 60 times. That's pretty good. I like it. I mean, hey, it's America, man. Take a shot at it.
Oh, man.
Well, I do remember when Kerry and Bush were running, Kerry got 14,000 certified votes from a county with 8,000 registered voters.
Yeah,
now, they flagged
good,
that one. The Republicans were kind of like, wait, now is that right? Let me think about that a little bit. But that's when Kerry actually conceded. But that was a symptom to me. And I think instead of high-fiving we win, you go and find out what's going on here. And that's in Ohio, Steve.
Well, and then there was this absolute case out of New York, one of the New York districts, with Barack Obama against Hillary Clinton in the primary. And the vote came back 9,526 to nothing. And then somebody said, no, they're both Democrats. They're not just. And then they came out. We have a new recount, 6,500. It was close. It was like going, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I think that's the kind of thing that worries me is, if you think about that, that's someone controlling 10,000 votes. A lot of elections are swung on much less than that. So it is very important that we do get to select the leaders. I mean, we have a hard time selecting good leaders fair and square, and then when there's cheating going on, it just makes it all the worse, and that's where you lose your democracy, is when that process completely breaks down. I don't know how bad it is, but I've known, and we have all known for years, there's been goings on, and one more recent one was who's the comedian, Franken. That was just blatant.
Yeah, right.
Al Franken didn't win that election, and he's senator. And actually, we wouldn't have health care if that hadn't happened. We wouldn't. That was the vote they needed.
Well, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. 10 more minutes with our two stars on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Always a pleasure. All right, Marco Rubio, in a speech to South Carolina yesterday, he said, for all the policy disagreements that we may have with the president, it's hard to understate how much he inspired people across this country 4 years ago with the promises to unite America and lift it up. But then Marco Rubio went on to say, we have not seen such a divisive figure in modern American history as we have over the last 3.5 years. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And I listened to the speech that Rubio gave, and absolutely he's right. This is a man who is dividing this country through class warfare. And I went on and told you, listen, nobody wants to help the poor more than I do. But I mean, you can't destroy the rich by helping the poor. There is going to always be a system in place. It's never going to change because everybody can't be the same. If everybody's the same, it's called communism. And that doesn't even work.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I agree with Mike, and I agree with Rubio. He's been extremely divisive and not unifying at all. And it's nothing he does is his fault. It's always him, and that's how you divide people. It's not been what we were hoping for, and I think there's a chance we'll get a new president, but we'll have to see. And then, you know, it's very disturbing to hear about the various voter irregularities, because it's going to be close. And
you know what? I really like this Rubio guy. Oh, I really do.
Well, he's liable to get a shot at vice president. And now they're talking about our buddy Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, down here some more.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now they're ginning that up. But, you know, that's just something to talk about. I don't think he's interested. But he's doing a great job as governor. So,
well, the whole state of Louisiana.
You go back to the voting, Steve. we have what's called an electoral college, and if we'd have kept the original plan where each congressional district gets their vote for president instead of having this winner take all, you know what I mean, Mike? Then yeah. these big city votes can't swing a whole state.
They
get the whole pile of electoral
right
votes
down.
So that incentive for cheating goes down.
Well, you have that going on now in Nebraska. They split them. Why doesn't the rest of the union split them like
Maine
that?
Maine does too. Maine and Nebraska.
Yeah.
There's a few. Yeah, that would be common sense. Again, now, you know, our forefathers, when they put this together, they weren't the dumbest eggs in the basket. Let's face it. They were pretty smart. And and they did it for a reason.
They did. They were trying to prevent some of the things that are happening from happening. And they foresaw it. And they know human nature. And that's what's so brilliant about our Constitution is they anticipated our weaknesses and played to our strengths. So, but then we haven't followed it like we should. So. But we're still kicking. We're still kicking, guys.
Yeah. All right, final couple of stories. I want to ask you a couple of sports things. But first, this man who has fathered 30 kids with 11 different women is asking the state for a break on child support. Johnny, what do you do with a guy who's fathered 30 kids with 11 women?
I'd probably give him a break on child support, Steve. How can you pay for that? I haven't got any way to comment on that.
I think the first thing you ought to do is castrate him.
Well, now that would be probably common sense, but it wouldn't play well in today's culture.
It would not do the wrong, but it's ridiculous. You know, and no, should he get a break? No, absolutely not. Never a break. I mean, if anybody's this stupid, my God, listen, they deserve to be held to the fire for everything they owe.
But how, 11 women? And
where's this guy
but
from?
Just think how smart they were.
I know. It's Knoxville, Tennessee. Some of the moms get a whole $1.49 in child support. 30 children, 14 years old and younger. I mean, it is just unbelievable. I just, it's just one of the, it's the head-shaking story of the morning.
Well, that's for sure, but on the other hand, how much can a guy like that be making? He doesn't have time to work, Steve.
Well, no, he's not doing anything with the kids. He's got a minimum wage job.
Yeah.
It's just, wow. It's one of those, you're right, it's hard to.
And you know, what do you, I don't know. That's a head shaker. good way to put a good term. Shaker of the morning.
The Jason Duffner has won two of the last PGA events, Mike, and I don't know if anybody's seen his teeth. I mean, he doesn't smile. He's the most calm-looking guy. I've never seen anything like it.
He's a good golfer. I know that. I don't know about calm, but I watched him make a few of those shots. Pretty solid guy.
And, well, Johnny, that's it. Nathaniel, when you got him a chance to caddy for DA Points, Jason Duffner was in the group. And so
okay.
We saw him firsthand, close up. I mean, the fiance that he just married, the pictures were all over CBS yesterday. She was walking along with us, just a nice girl. And the guy just, it's just amazing how golf is. Here's Jason Duffner, been around the league 10 years or so, and all of a sudden won two of the last three weekends. How do you do that?
Well, is that the first repeat winner this year, too?
Oh, boy.
I don't think there's been.
No, maybe not.
So that says something right there. But, you know, you get in that zone, and his lasted more than one weekend, it sounds like. So that's impressive.
Well, he won. He got married, took a week off, came back, and then won the week after that. I mean, wow. Because you know how hard it is to win. He was looking like Mike Ditka out there with some of those shots. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Pray not.
He was in those pins.
Well,
he's
it's important to pick the right girl, Steve.
Exactly right. And then the NBA playoffs. Boy, I tell you what, it's hand-to-hand combat. And it seems like the whoever can survive injuries is going to win this thing.
Yeah, they're tired.
Well,
they play hard, though. Mike, these guys are incredible. They're just.
Who's San Antonio?
Well, just the whole. I'm just talking about the athletes in the league.
The whole thing, you're right. I mean, I don't know if there's anything harder on your body than watching these guys in the NBA play three games or four games a week. I mean,
right, exactly. And by the end of by the fourth quarter of these games, they're on vapors. But that's where you just see the most incredible things. I'm just amazed at watching the game. I don't really have a dog in this fight, Stevie.
Yeah,
but
and then the White Sox sweep the Cubs. Mike, the Cubs just the Cubs, aren't they?
Well, you know, they're not very good, guys. You got to look at their lineup, look at what they've got, look at their pitching, look at their batting. It's just not very good. And you know, and then they do some things decision wise by the manager a couple of days ago. I thought were ridiculous. And then you got a pitcher they send down a triple A because he throws four straight balls to the opposing pitcher, and then they bring them back up today. I mean, I
well,
know.
I'll tell you. Well, of course, we're getting busy, Steve, offshore, and I've, you know, we had a great, the Cubs had a great season. You know, of course, it winds down around June 1st, and we were hitting there a couple, 3 weeks ago, had a good year, and I'm already looking forward to next year. But that's why Cubs are a great team for me, Mike. Their season ends somewhere around the first part of June, and we're pretty busy.
That stadium was packed. So that whole series, I mean, what a great scene it is on TV.
Yeah.
What a great ballpark. What a great fans. And, hey, the White Sox, they're pretty good.
Yeah, no, they are. And Johnny, the VB10000, I mentioned it before we got you on the air, largest lift machine ever built in the Western Hemisphere by a lot. And you're out there lifting right now, correct? You're now active again?
We've picked up a couple of pieces this weekend, and we're actually heading in to get the claw, and we're going to put that claw on, Mike, and go out and see if we can claw some more things up. So we've started, and
this is
far so good.
This is a 12-story claw, Mike. 12 stories tall.
I don't think people, you know, I know the audience doesn't comprehend the work that John does and the intelligence that he has to innovate and get into this thing that they're doing, because you think, well, nobody thinks about, well, I got to lift an oil rig off the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the Gulf. And all of a sudden, when somebody can find a way to do that, that's pretty incredible.
I call him the Thomas Edison of oil and gas.
Well, I agree. Well, he's smarter than Thomas Edison.
That's what I
thank you, guys.
That's it.
Well, I don't know. I think you're exaggerating.
No, I know Thomas Edison.
Hey, guys, I'll leave it there. I'll call you Friday. Mike, Johnny, always a pleasure.
All right. Great talking to you.
God bless
thanks,
you.
Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stevie.
Mike Ditka at the Hyatt this morning in Chicago, where he's about to deliver a speech, Brother Johnny, in New Orleans. Mondays and Fridays, the only place in America Mike Ditka is on the radio talking things other than sports.
Sounding great.
756.